It does raise a question about cameras. Is it enough?
Situations where, in one situation, the officer had forgotten his camera back at the station.
I'm certainly glad that we have the cameras out there in more people's hands. It raises the possibility, or raises the probability, that the truth will come out, but it's not a guarantee.
All right. Well, it looks like we're just about running out of time. So why don't we give people the information one more time? Mike, you want to remind people when, where?
Monday, April 13th, that's this coming Monday, 6:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Maranatha Church, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue, Portland. Come early. This event is going to fill up quickly.
Yes.
And thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Joyce.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Up next is Right to Survive Radio. First, these important messages.
KBOO and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present a music documentary that raises the bar for the genre. Arrows into Infinity, the new documentary about the life of jazz musician Charles Lloyd. Thursday, April 9 at the Clinton Street Theater. Arrows into Infinity takes us on Lloyd's journey from the heights of jazz rock royalty to his life in seclusion and back again. Arrows into Infinity, the Portland premiere, Thursday, April 9, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 6th Annual Sold Out Music Festival, April 14th to the 20th. This year's festival has significant focus on Portland, Northwest, and West Coast artists throughout the lineup, as well as headliners Charles Bradley, Kimbra, Yassine Bey, both solo and singing for Bad Brains, and many more. This year's festival takes place in 11 venues across Portland. Again, that's the 6th Annual Sold Out Music Festival, April 14th through the 20th, in 11 venues across Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Good evening and welcome to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland, Oregon. And today we are talking to people who live in Tucson. Some are unhoused, working to better the houseless situation down in Tucson, and a couple who used to be at Right to Dream 2 and spent the better part of the last year traveling south down to Tucson to find out what's going on along the West Coast and what they're doing in cities in Arizona. I don't want to hold things up because we have a well-packed, well-deserved hour-long show for you. So stay tuned and sit tight, settle in for the next hour along with us. Thank you.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak.
live from Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio now. And today we're in Ground Zero in Tucson, Arizona with Right to Dream Tucson Dream Center. And today I'm here with
Roy Trout.
Roy, how long have you been houseless?
On and off for 17 years now.
Uh-huh. Has it all been in Arizona?
Yes.
What does Safe Park mean to the houseless community here in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, Safe Park is a place where we can come sleep. You know, it's a place to recuperate from the days in the heat where we don't have to worry about persecution.
And so do you have a lot that the police or the public, are they bothering you all while y'all sleep by yourself on the sidewalk in parks or where?
You know, if we're anywhere but Safe Park, we're bothered. They have rangers that go out, patrol, and wake us up. Say we can't sleep here. They'll follow you around throughout the night. They'll make you walk all night long unless you go to a shelter. And then, you know, most of the time they're overpacked or don't accept, so it's tough to get in.
So can you tell us why you don't utilize the shelters?
A lot of it's because there's a lot of cold there. It's a lot of sickness. You know, people come in and you never know what they have. You're very susceptible to catch a cold. It's just too many people.
But can't you do that being out in the street around people?
Well, it's not as close quarters. You don't have to be around that person like you would in a shelter. In a shelter, if they put you next to a guy with pneumonia, you stuck there. Out here, if I see a guy with pneumonia, I can walk away from you.
How are the houseless treated here in Tucson?
As far as police go, it's kind of iffy. I mean, they don't look at us as people. They treat us like we're second rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Okay, and with that, can you get food three times a day, or are they hot meals, or what?
Most of the time through the week, you can get a meal.
One meal.
You can get a breakfast up at Guadalupe's Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a dinner at CCA on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Monday and Friday mornings, you can go to Southside Presbyterian Church, and they always have a meal.
Mm-hmm.
6 a.m. You can go there. They open at 7. The doors at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
They will serve a meal and give a shower, but that's twice a week.
Okay.
There's services for food everywhere.
Yeah, so they're everywhere, but they on different days
right.
at different times. And if you make it to that area on that day, you don't eat.
Right, right. If you have an appointment somewhere and it just happens to run a little bit over, you're out of luck. Once you miss it, you miss it. It's gone.
And so what do you do?
Well, sometimes you go hungry. I mean, unless you manage to get a couple bucks somehow,
yeah.
you go hungry.
Okay. And what about showers?
There's a Casa Maria. You can go
day.
There. And,
how long is the time that you're
believe,
allowed?
I believe it's from 6:30 a.m. till around 11:30.
Really?
And then they close them down.
So do they have a man go in, a female go in, a child
yeah,
go in? Or do they have enough stall? Like just the men's side?
No, it's one at a time.
One at a time. Wow. And how many houseless people here in Tucson would it be?
Well, thousands.
Over 3,000.
Over 3,000.
So it's every day you can take a shower.
Yeah.
But you have that amount of time and you compete with them to take a shower every day.
Yeah.
And that's the only place you can take a shower.
Right. And then if they have athlete's foot, if they have, you know, you're susceptible to whatever's in that shower.
Wow, wow. You hear that, Portland? Y'all have it so easy. So, and what about clothes?
Clothing? Mondays and Fridays, there's a church over there. It's called Southside Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one other church that does clothes. I think CCA has a little clothing bank, but it's very seldom do they have anything that fits a lot of people. Casa Maria has a clothing bank, so, you know, you might get a pair of slacks.
It's you against 2,999 other people
That's right.
trying to fight to survive for one pot.
Right, right.
Wow.
And then, you know, you got that one greedy guy that goes in there and it's Walmart time, whether they need them or not.
Man, man, man. So what type of laws are made here to target the houseless community?
Well, they have a camping law.
Uh-huh.
You cannot sleep in the inner city at all on anywhere public. You can't be in the washes. You can't be in public view, basically. They chase you out of public view.
If you sleep or as you sitting or standing?
Anytime.
How they know you houseless? I mean, you
most
could have
of
been
them
working
you can
construction.
Most
and you
of them
just
you can
get
tell.
Off
I mean,
work and you dirty and stuff.
Right, but a lot of them you can tell. They know the houseless community. They know who we are.
And so, if I dress who they think I should look like,
and I sit down on that street right there, the police going to tell me to move.
Eventually, you're going to get told to move.
So if I'm in a suit, would they tell me to move?
Probably not.
Something like that. So what about other? What about sleeping or public using public restrooms and stuff? I mean, do you still get criminalized?
Well, here's the problem. A lot of the businesses in downtown where most of the houseless community are have stopped letting the houseless community use their bathroom. Yeah. After 10 o'clock at night, well, say after 8 o'clock at night, everything is shut down. There is no public restroom here.
So what they're trying to tell you that the public have to hold themselves till 8 in the morning is unethical, it's unconstitutional, unhumane, civil rights, that you can't use the bathroom from this time to that time.
Right.
You have to use it because it's a human right.
Well, right now, a lot of houseless people are getting popped for sex crimes. They are being arrested for indecent exposure and then charged with a sex crime.
And because they had to use the restroom.
Right.
So that's an unjust law, right?
I was getting ready to go to court. And there was this fella in there because he used the bathroom outside. And they wanted him to register as a sex offender.
Wow.
Because he used the bathroom outside.
Did he do it?
No, he told him to keep him.
I'm playing. What are the laws here that making it hard for houseless people to get productive?
The bicycle law. Uh-huh. They want you to ride on the street. Now, if you dressed in a suit and tie and you riding a bicycle on the sidewalk, they'll let you go. They won't say nothing. But if you have a backpack on that looks homeless, you're going to get stopped.
Wow.
And usually they fine you about $150.
Can you describe, I know last I was here in Tucson, was it a couple hours before I came to Safe Park, they had blew somebody's homeless person's backpack up. Can you explain that?
So some homeless guy had left his backpack with his blanket and I think a pair of clothes or something outside of the Superior Court building. They spent countless numbers of dollars. They had all of one street closed off. They had the bomb squad. They had a little robot thing that they were using. And they blew up that homeless man's backpack. They detonated it.
Wow.
So all over a pair of clothes and maybe a blanket and a hygiene kit.
Wow. I think
they called it a suspicious package.
Man.
And that's our city's tax dollars at work.
Okay. How's the housing situation? I mean, housing, is it easy or hard to get
housing? Housing is expensive.
Uh-huh.
Housing is very expensive. They have Section 8, but that's like a 2-year waiting list. And then they have a list a mile long of conditions. If you have any criminal record, you don't qualify. If you have an eviction, you don't qualify. Right.
So then you're in the streets.
Right.
And being in the streets, you've been criminalized. And you've been criminalized, you can't get work or housing anyway.
Right.
So what do you do?
Well, right now I have to go to a halfway house or a shelter. And to me, I'd rather pitch my tent somewhere.
Are you doing that now?
Yes. Yes, sir. I sure am.
And you're doing that around where?
I am doing that in downtown Tucson on a sidewalk.
Around Safe Park.
Right, around Safe Park. For you.
That's what I heard. A lot of people don't like it, but it's safe.
I don't like it because it draws more attention to me than I wanted in the first place. Okay. I don't want that attention. And so it brings the law into my life more and more every day. And I'm getting to where I don't even want to be around anymore.
You can be depressed.
Yeah, just because of their situation, they're vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so tempers flare, it gets hot here.
Exactly.
In the summertime, it's 112 degrees, 119 degrees. It's hot.
Yeah.
People are miserable, and so tempers are going to flare.
Especially when they sleep deprived or they're being looked down on.
And right, and then they're being persecuted because they're houseless. You know, a lot of the houseless community has turned against civil law because civil law has persecuted them to the point where they do that.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be if you sat at the library too long, they would come chase you out. If you sat at the Ronstadt too long, they'd come chase you out.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get this name right, and I squash it all the time. CAC, that's the church.
CCA, Central City Assembly.
Yeah, CCA. Last I was here, they was building a Right to Dream Tucson there, and we're going to go past there and see it later on. Whatever happened to that? And do you think it would help or hurt the houseless community here?
Well, I think it would be better than this thing downtown.
Mm-hmm. The
problem with that is that it's a church.
Yeah.
So they have certain guidelines. If you have certain charges, you can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand because, you know, if you have a sex offender who's done something wrong to a kid, they got kids that come there.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just have people like that there. But I think there needs to be a place where anybody can receive help and not have to worry about being persecuted because of a bad choice they made in life. Yeah. Everybody makes a bad decision once in a while. And to be persecuted because you made that decision and paid your price, I mean, like me, I can't even get food stamps no more. Mm-hmm. They will not give me food stamps here because of my drug convictions. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to treatment and you kicked your drug habit, you still can't get food stamps, so it don't make no difference. So
I'm lucky I didn't leave the little small Social Security benefit.
So that's why a lot of people tend to drugs, because they not allowed to survive. They can't do this, so they need something to put them out.
They need something to cure the pain and the anger inside of being oppressed into a small, basically a box. It's either you live in jail or you live in a wash.
Yeah.
And then if you live in a wash, you're chased around all night by the cops. You get very little sleep.
Okay. So what advice do you have for the folks who are new to the houseless community?
Advice.
That are new.
First thing is, if you have a drug habit, get rid of it. Huh. Get rid of it. Next is to find real people to be around. Real people, and by real people is not people that want to keep you in a bad situation, but people that want to bring you up from a bad situation. So to be around someone that's about success is important. It's important to find your resources. Learn your resources. If you don't know where to eat, if you don't know where to go to get services, you need to find out. Find someone who knows. Find someone who can help you find those services. Mm-hmm. Because if, you know, without them services, life is going to be miserable.
So what about medical services? Job trainings at Butts Fair to get to interviews, how, you know, where you put your luggage or your belongings, sentimental values, all that stuff.
Lot of things, here's the problem with that. There's not a lot of places, unless you go to a shelter and you happen to be able to get in, you pretty much got to carry a backpack or take a chance of city police deeming it a suspicious package and spending millions of dollars to blow it up just in case it's a bomb. Mm-hmm.
And what about medical service?
Here's the thing about medical. Here's the thing about medical. If there's a federal law in place right now where they cannot refuse medical. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, if you go into a hospital with pneumonia and you say, I don't have insurance, so I can't pay, they're going to sit you in a hallway for 6 to 8 hours and leave you there. And then if you're lucky, 6 hours later, 8 hours later, they might come see you and tell you, oh, well, you got a cold. Here's prescription for Robitussin. Good luck.
So in other words, they jimmy-rigging you.
There is access. But here's the problem with access. Again, if you have felonies, you don't qualify. If you have drug felonies, you don't qualify. They take your public assistance.
All right. Thank you very much.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in Tucson, Arizona, in a houseless community on Ground Zero. And our guest today is
Maggie Downey, Associate Director of Safe Park.
Maggie, are you a supporter? Are you houseless? Have you ever been houseless? What's your responsibility?
When I was a teenager, all of my friends were street kids, and a lot of them were LGBT, and then some of them were the children of what you would call bag ladies, because bag ladies have children too. And I saw what happened to their futures. We're still friends, and I knew what all their troubles were. And so I taught a couple people to drive and things like that. And then I got a degree in economic justice, basically, is economics for social change. Uh-huh. And then I went into the Peace Corps for field work and really found there how much a house can determine a person's life. Uh-huh. Because the women that I worked with, when it was too cold to weave rugs, they just retired. They didn't work for months at a time. Uh-huh. And it affects your whole life, having a shelter, having a place to go and to rest.
Uh-huh. Your compassion is growing up how your friends live, and as you got older, how living on the outside affected a people's personal life, their judgments.
It's also, I've always been a very pragmatic person, and within economics, it can show you that it is the best outcome for community and individuals to work together. You could look at John Nash's theory of competition. He used sheep on a land. If all the farmers are competitive, then the land goes barren. If they all work together, then individuals in the community can survive, and that is the best option for society. And so economically, you can go about it and say the business people that if you want your businesses to be the best that they can be and not to have someone on the street that may bother you, why don't you try to help that person? Why don't you try to better your community? And then you will be bettering everyone's situation as well as yourself.
So were you with Safe Park from the beginning?
I was not with Safe Park from the beginning. I started at the Dream Center, and then I started with Safe Park, I can't even say, maybe November 2014.
Yeah. How has it grown since?
Well, we've got the pods in January, and the pods are all lockable from the outside and the inside. And then people, of course, have tents, and there's an office tent now. There's a solar panel for charging your phones. I myself go around, make sure everybody has what they need. We do have medical supplies. We do have pencils and papers for people that need to keep track of whatever. And then we also have literature as well for people who are trying to get into housing, and now we're connecting more and more with the local organization.
It's growing from just, hey, come and get a good night rest, to sort of like a resource and to point people after your rest, to point them in the right direction.
Yes, it was always meant to be a one-stop, 24-hour resource center. Uh-huh. Because problems, issues do not just happen during business hours. You need to have people around so that a person can come at any time and be safe. So that if someone's kicked out of their house, if someone is evicted, something happens, they have a place to go.
Was it hard to get the community themselves, and I say community, I mean the houseless community themselves, to feed into this type of concept?
Not at all. There's two different parts to that question. The pods, people love. As soon as they saw them, they knew what it was.
Okay.
Versus the rest of the non-houseless community, people who have never been houseless, did not know. They were completely confused, which is kind of funny to show how naive they are of the needs of people that are houseless. The other side to that, the community, it's been hard to get some people to clean up after themselves, to be a little bit more organized, but really it's not that bad. It's not a shanty town. It's quite organized. We do respect each other. There's just every once in a while we have a person, but we take everyone in here. Yeah. That's something that people need to remember. We take people that are mentally ill. We take people that have PTSD. We take all, we leave no one behind. So you're gonna have a problem or two, but in the future, you can have different areas where you could have an area for women, you can have an area for men, and then you can really just help every single person in the way that they need to be helped.
Do you think separatism is good? Like you say, have an area for women, have an area for men within the same facility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So why do you think the people inside are so against having people that live outside into something? Or are they here in Tucson?
I've noticed that in Tucson, people are more conservative. I know that they are against us because they see us as being dangerous. They see someone, a group of people, a crowd, can be a mob, supposedly, and I guess it's that mentality. I find it very strange.
Yeah.
Because in a more liberal environment, San Francisco, I'm from Ann Arbor, you always have hippies sitting on the street.
Exactly. Blue and maize, baby.
And so it doesn't make sense to me that they want to revitalize downtown, they want people coming downtown, and yet they don't want us. But on 4th Ave, it's a very vibrant community, it's more alternative. You do have panhandlers, and you do have street performers, and it makes it a cultural attraction. It makes it a spot that people want to go, that people want to have fun. And yet, down at Viente Augusta Park, perhaps because of all of the city workers, maybe a little more conservative, they don't want that element. They want people to be in suits and not to sit, not to use the park. It's silly.
So is it hard for a houseless person I'm going to say this in a biased manner because I was living on the streets, and that's why I accumulated a lot of my criminalization for living on the street. And not every person live on the street have been criminalized for not being housed, but the mass majority of mm-hmm. us have. So do you find that it's hard to get housing here for a houseless person in Tucson?
Well, there's only 400 beds. For an emergency, if you showed up that night, you could get in. Only 400. There's a good 7,000, 8,000 houseless people. I don't really know. It's obviously the HUD count, which everyone knows is incredibly inaccurate, is a good 2,000 people. So obviously, thousands of people are short a bed.
So for people to find permanent housing, is that a hassle, or they don't have enough affordable housing?
There's definitely not enough affordable housing. Unfortunately, there's several schemes that people have to get rid of people that do not have money. People will raise their rent higher than what the building is worth so that they don't have to deal with the poor. They have the classist mentality that a poor person is a bad person or will do drugs or will hurt their building. And they need to change that. There should be a regulation that gives. And then there is also, of course, trailer parks where people will try to move into a trailer and to own, but it was condemned in the past. And so they think that they're finding a new life, but then they're out on the street again because it was condemned and the city's not doing enough to go after these landlords and to make laws. And that could change that process, like having references or background checks. Credit often affects people as well.
Yeah. So I find that quite odd that the police will go after a houseless person that's trying to get inside and survive and make a life, but they won't go out after, for sake of argument, slumlords, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
or people raising their rent economically out of reach for poor mm-hmm. people. They won't do that, but for people to try to find something, they'll go after them and criminalize. You find that odd?
I find it incredibly counterproductive, and it's very immature. They should have a more larger perspective on how to better the community. And why would you target the most vulnerable population? Why wouldn't you want to target people that if you take them down, it'll be a ripple effect?
Yeah. So what about SS, the medical? Do they have good medical? Do they have good medical
they
service
also
here?
Have a limited medical service. They have been combining their medical services. Hard to know which ones you would want to go to, and people have complained about different ones. But there are people down here that they should have come, you know, we're a one-stop shop. Anyone's welcome to come down here and talk to our residents.
Yeah.
And yet there are plenty of residents that are here that haven't spoken to anyone or waiting.
Yeah. So would you want in the future to have like on-site facility where instead of the houseless community going to them, they can come to the house?
Exactly. We want it to be one-stop service in one place. And we have invited Primavera to come to our office tent and to have consistently a social worker here so that it's 24 hours, anytime a person can show up. And also train the people that are our residents that are up to it into being in that tent and knowing all the different services and how you would take care of someone, how you would address someone. And that is up in the air, unfortunately, but we do invite everyone.
We have a mass of this about the houseless women that become pregnant. How are they taken care of, or do they, are they not?
They're not being taken care of. We have two people down here, and I have been working at networking and trying to get people to get them into housing, and I think I got one, but it's because of the news. She was in the news. She stated her name, and she stated that she was 2 weeks pregnant, so that helped her. It was the media, but if she had been down here without any media, I don't know if she would have gotten the help.
What type of laws here that I've made that target the houseless community?
Sleeping in a car, sleeping on the street, urinating in public.
She had a catalog.
There is a very long list. Living in the public eye, loitering, criminal trespass. Yeah. That gets a lot of people in jail for long periods of time when we're paying them to be in jail when they should never have gone. And all of those laws shouldn't be criminal. You can make them civil infractions. you could make it so that you, instead of paying a fine, go to a social worker.
Right.
Because someone who's peeing outside, why are they peeing outside? Is it because they are homeless? Is it because drinking too much?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, even if they're just a frat boy, they could go to a social worker and the social worker could tell them, you know, that's not socially acceptable. Or they could try to get them into a house. They need to, you know, you can talk to someone instead of sending them to jail, and that costs money. We don't need all these programs to fine people and cost money to the taxpayers when we could fix them and in the future save money.
Okay, is there any one last thing you want the public to know about the houseless community in Tucson?
The houseless community, a good 50%, I was told by an outreach worker at Primavera, would prefer something like Safe Park to a traditional shelter system. People want to be independent. They do not want to be dependent.
Exactly.
Why would you want to make people dependent on the system? Why would you want, like Councilwoman Romero, to wait in line all day for all these different services when they could take care of themselves, and that would be efficient and effective and save everyone money and save everyone grief, and everyone would become a more productive member of society? And that's what everyone wants, so why don't we make that happen?
All right. Thank you very much, man.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio, KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today, we're here in a houseless community in Ground Zero in Tucson, sunny, hot Arizona. And my guests are
Mark Milton Jr.
and Sydney Eckhart.
How long have you all been unhoused?
I've been houseless. It's going on a year now.
I've been houseless for about a year and a half.
You had a chance to travel around this country and visit different cities and states in their tent cities and their homeless population. Can you let us know what experience in the cities that you stopped in along your way compared to Portland and Tucson?
I think up in Portland, there's quite a few services. Here in Tucson, there's about a third of the services that Portland has. On our trip down here, we stopped in San Francisco, and I think that's the other place I would say that has quite a few services.
I think, too, that it was interesting how actually Northern California, there was quite a few services, even in the smaller towns we stopped at, like Santa Rosa, places like that, whereas like the further south you get, it's kind of like the less services.
In this country?
Yeah.
And our experience in Santa Cruz, California was probably the most negative. There's not a whole lot of advocacy there for houseless people, and the community as a whole, they don't really have it figured out yet. You know, they're not really the infant stages maybe of it. When we were there, we had to stay in an armory. Any outside camping is pretty much banned. You're going to get harassed by the cops.
What about any places where you can go eat, get clothing, or take showers?
Very limited.
The only place that we stopped in where you could actually get showers was in downtown San Francisco. They had a place down there. It was open 24/7. You go in there and get a shower 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You just got to go through a security check. You're in. That was on Bryant Street.
Can you describe the similarity, or is it any similarity, the way the houses are treated by the public, the city officials, the police association, and the business alliance?
I believe that it's about the same anywhere you go, but as Mark was saying, once you go north more, it's a bit more progressive. The public view on homeless people is usually the same wherever, whatever city you go. And it's just usually the cities themselves and whatever ordinance they have that's the main difference.
So what about the criminalization of homeless people? Do they have similar laws or different laws to criminalize people?
I really don't know enough about that because we didn't really spend enough time in certain places to experience that. We kind of like did the ninja camping and then just kind of hit the road. But
we got a taste of it. Like in Santa Cruz, we were trying to get fare to get out, so we flew a sign one day, and we had a security person come up and accompany us out of downtown and said he gave us a pamphlet of panhandling procedures. that was a little weird.
They have an actual pamphlet they spent money on. It shows you all the rules and guidelines for panhandling in the city of Santa Cruz.
It was, you couldn't be close to a business, you couldn't be close to a crosswalk.
And they got that, they got that place on lockdown, because every time I thought we found a good spot to sleep, it was all good till we got to sleep.
And there was some security.
Something.
Yeah.
So how do the public treat you all? So did they look at y'all as travelers or homeless?
Actually, we were more so. Well, I view it as we were more so viewed as travelers because we were traveling. And yeah, we were outdoors. You know, a couple people we talked to told them we're homeless. We're just traveling right now. I think that it's kind of, for some, it's one and the same. It really is. I mean, because you're outdoors at all times. I mean,
There's a bit of a double standard, though, because a lot of college students do that. They go off and they're traveling around the country basically homeless. And it's seen as a positive thing, but, you know, and it's one step away from being homeless, though.
So if you're homeless and trapped, you get looked down on if you're in college.
Yeah, it's seen as
that's a good thing.
Like
you're enjoying the world.
Story, yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference? You're traveling. It shouldn't make a difference if you're gone. But that's the way society has it.
Yeah.
Do you know why they look down on homeless people?
I think it's societal thing, you know, if we're not directly contributing to society, you know, having a house and a job, then we're kind of seen as outsiders.
How are the views different? Do opinions differ? Are the needs greater?
I don't know. I think that the need is pretty much needed all the way around, but I don't know. It's almost like you got certain brackets of homeless and travelers.
Right.
You really do. It's like a bracket system where if you're train hoppers, that's a little bit different than a traveler. Travelers, people out there thumbing it or flying a sign to get bus fare to where they're going, and they're going to post up for a while somewhere. And then you got what I guess you call the home bum status, so people are just going to post up. And they don't, in my opinion, from what I've seen from like a home bum status, it's like who they just post up and they're not for anything, not against anything, they're just chilling out, want to be left alone.
They want to be left alone.
Yep.
So on all the places that you all travel to, it was from spring to summer, back to spring again, are all the houses trying to get together as an organization and create tent cities, rest areas, or communities or something like that?
Not as much as they should. You know, there's still a lot of division within the houses community, you know. People who want to just be left alone and people who want to actually take action and change the laws and get things done. And so there's still that inner community bickering that goes on everywhere.
So do you find that with the older houseless people that just want to be left alone and don't want to rock the boat? And the new people, like the middle class that's becoming homeless, want to have a direct action and fight and say, this is not fair?
That's about right. I mean, it is. I mean, from what I've seen, I mean, you know, because like when we was out traveling, we didn't have too many interactions with people. We did, but we really didn't. Other than running into somebody from R2-D2 on Hay Street in San Francisco, that was a trip. No, I don't know. It's all kind of new to me because, like, you know, I'd hitchhiked out there before and it was different because back then I didn't have my street boots, if you will. I didn't know how to survive. But now it's overall as a whole, I mean, most of what I've experienced on this trip was travelers, so they're not going to necessarily have too many opinions or views about it because they're on the circuit, you know what I mean? They're running around traveling, doing the hippie hustle.
So it's Tucson that like, y'all stayed the longest in any of y'all been here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Some of this monkey stuff. It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this and like that and like this.
Okay, and that's why y'all probably more active, because y'all stayed long. Now, can you distinguish the difference between the activists in Portland, Oregon, and the activists in Tucson, Arizona?
Portland, in general, is a more progressive city, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucson's getting there, though. It's getting there. But as far as the houseless issue, I feel like it's just in the baby stages. Like, Safe Park, in general, is... It's got a long way to go.
What about you, Mark?
Well, there again, too, it's running down here off one brother's kind of vision, a couple brothers that are really in there and active and making it happen. But the good thing about that is it's kind of inspiring other people to possibly get curious about it to where they might actually pursue that instead of just being houseless, be out, you know, being involved, as you put it, on a regular basis. To evolve rather than just taking what's given to you and actually getting to know your rights, know what's what, rather than listening to what people might say.
So are people having a hard time in this community adapting to that concept, speak up for your rights, than they are in Portland?
I think it's dumbfounding a lot of them because they're not too sure what to do because they're just so used to running the shovel, ducking the police, but not even really doing nothing wrong, just being outdoors. That after being in San Francisco and seeing their sit lie law business, they still kind of got it pretty decent here. For now, these Tucson PD beyond you after sit lie law. That was terrible. It's only, I'm not sure. It's so odd to see how the homeless scene is different every single city. It's totally different.
What about you, Sid?
I was just going to say that that from the people that I've talked to here, this is very overwhelming to them. And like the dream pods and the welcome tent, and it's very new because they haven't seen anything like that before here. Yeah. So just getting them on board with what we're doing and making them see that this is for all of us, you know, as a community.
Mark said, or it was you, it said it's in this infant stage, and
yes,
people really, even the organizers, don't know what to do. They go and buy, let's say, tuck and cheek.
Yeah. Tuck and cheek.
Is any other organization besides the grassroots organization showing solidarity with the houseless community here?
Primavera, which is like similar to TPI in a way, and there's not a whole lot. Like I said, there's about a third of the services here.
Is it harder to get housing here than it is in Portland, Oregon?
It'd probably be easier here only because there's not as many.
I mean, the people, the population. Yeah. What about medical services?
Good luck. You're on your own down here for houses.
Really?
Like, you just got to go to the ER and take what they give you, because we had an incident where she wasn't feeling too good for whatever reason. We went down to the place that accepts off the street homeless, and they wouldn't take her in.
No, we were turned away, so I had to go to the ER, and now really? I have a $2,000 bill that's not going to be paid because I don't have the money. They have access here. I don't know. I think it's a little more difficult to get up in Oregon. We're covered up in Oregon, but it's a little different.
When the state up, but that don't transfer much while.
It don't? I thought it covered. I mean, if I'm visiting here and I'm living in Oregon and I get sick here.
It's different systems. It's called completely different thing here. It's called access here. Up there, it's like Cover Oregon, right? Or
does the community have Know Your Right training or anyone teaching the houseless community about the ordinance and stuff here in Arizona?
There's nothing.
No, you got John Coop. You got Coop. He's pretty much the man to talk to about that. He actually educates people on what the laws are, the statutes, this, and that. And he does that on a regular basis when he comes down. Now, people choosing not to listen, well, that's kind of on them.
It's not any sort of organized classes. There should be, though.
So what he doing, he just say, hey, y'all, this is happening.
It's mostly anybody that's curious, you know.
Okay.
And that's a big difference, is that we need to reach out, realize that, I mean, people need to know whether they're going to be involved in this movement or not. They need to know their rights and deal with the police.
What about work? Is it harder to find work here than it is in Portland?
Not really. Yes and no, because they got seasonal thing here, because once it starts getting hot, it pretty much shuts down too.
Really?
For a lot of laborers, what I've heard the guys talk about. You got your labor readies here. They don't have an actual work corner here that I've seen, but they got the labor ready gig. And then they got Primavera Works I've heard about, but after searching into it, looking more in the details now, how am I working? And plus it's way down there and you can't walk there. You'd have to basically spend the night there before if you don't have a bus pass. It's not a guaranteed thing.
Do they have public restrooms here?
No. No.
Oh, that's a big thing. They're complaining that the houseless are going to the bathroom in public places, but there's nowhere for them to go. And you can't expect pregnant women and elderly people to walk a mile to Circle K to go to the bathroom. That's unrealistic.
So is Circle K houseless friendly?
Well, no.
But isn't that...
They only got one for sure homeless hater, and he shuts the bathroom off at night.
Don't y'all go spend y'all food stamps?
Yeah, I mean, like, 80, I would bet that about the majority of their business is from the houseless community with their food stamps and stuff like that, because there's no grocery stores around here. Mm-hmm. Unless you can get on a bus and go
two miles away from Safeway.
That's the closest grocery store around here.
So it's really nothing to do if you're houseless, because you don't have an address and you're trying to look for work and you can't do that.
No, like, check this out, for instance. Like, I went the other day just to try to donate to get some cash. I've never done it. But so I go in there and try to donate, and we signed up for the mail service over here at Primavera. Apparently, at the plasma place, that's on their not acceptable address list. And you know, you get mail there. They won't let you use that address.
Really?
So that's a shot down there. So we went back to where I got a friend of ours sending us a piece of mail to their house. So I'm going to do that route. It was just interesting to me. I was like, I just couldn't. What's the difference? It's a certified mailing address. It's another way to kind of keep the homeless contained. as to what they can and can't do.
So how's the police here? I mean, how do they treat the house? Do they respect you all? Do they understand? Or they just, or is it like everywhere?
You know, after what I've seen with some of our Portland police, I'm not sure. Some of these guys are pretty all right. I'm just being honest.
That's true.
What about they take showers? In Portland, you got certain days and hours.
Well, Portland, you got between TPI and the rest commission, you're good on showers. Here, that is one thing that's really lacking. But because of the Dream Center, that's the only reason I get a regular shower.
Right.
That's the only reason. So I'm real grateful. Otherwise, you got the shower church, which is only Monday and Friday from a certain time.
Right.
And that place is packed from right here. And then Z Mansion on Sundays, they have a trailer there once every other week now.
So what happened the rest of the day? I mean, is it a certain time that you have to take? And if you don't make it at that certain time, you have to wait till Friday.
Yeah.
If you don't make it at that certain time, right, you have to wait till Monday.
Yeah. You got to get up and get down there. That's the trip.
And you talked about the CCA. And they don't allow women on that part. What do you think about that?
Well, I understand Pastor Dave's position on it. I might not necessarily agree with it. In this day and age, all you gotta do is have one person say one thing and that's the end of it. So I understand what he's saying, but like, there is a place for women to go.
Okay.
It might not be the best and everything, but you can still shower and do laundry there. So he's going out of his way and above and beyond and actually trying to do something other than feed, so I gotta give him credit for that.
And what now, Sydney, back to you about the women taking showers and keeping their clothes clean and themselves.
There's actually an article in the New York Times recently that said that being a houseless woman is one of the hardest things, because like hygiene in general. And here in Tucson they have the Sister Jose shelter, which you can take showers. It's open from 9 to 2
every day.
No, Tuesday through Saturday, so okay, pretty much most of the week. So that's
Sunday,
pretty great.
Monday,
but it's
church.
it's a very small house. It's an actual house, and it's just one shower.
You ever get there and you got a bunch of cold water?
Yeah, like that, and there could be 20 women ahead of you.
Wow, that's bad. So how does a struggling houseless woman keep herself? I know I used to lock myself in McDonald's or Burger King bathroom. Do I lock that?
That's what you have to do. You have to do what you have to do. Yeah, because it's the library. There's lots of women that go there any opportunity, basically.
Would you return to Oregon and come to Right to Dream too?
Absolutely, that's the plan.
That is the plan. I cannot wait to get home. Now, in hindsight, looking back, I understand why it's so important to just be involved, keep being out there, and just take the weekends and chill. But Monday through Friday, man, you've got to be all business. I don't care how much you're doing shifts or what you're doing, what you're not doing, because, you know, I can't wait to get home right in the center of things with a little different perspective. Can't wait to get back to work and live, you know. It's been an eye-opening experience, and I can't wait to get back to Portland.
Even though this is nice weather.
Well, that's great and everything, but, you know, I'm an Oregonian. I'm used to wearing a rain jacket.
What about you, Sydney?
No, I'm just looking forward. And it's just, like you said, we have a new perspective going all the way down the West Coast and seeing the different communities and how they treat the houseless and everything. And in Portland's, you guys are doing well, so.
Plus, we're in the middle of the desert. There ain't no water out here. Okay. Now, I can understand why, you know, Sydney says she don't want to live in Arizona. Nothing against Arizona, but, like, you're in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Cool.
When I first came here, people was more laid back because it was hot. They wasn't doing nothing. They wasn't being active. I said, come on, y'all, you know, being lazy, it's gonna come to bite you, and it's happening. So, one last thing. What do y'all think about what the judge said today at the hearing?
Basically, what John and John Cooper have been saying this whole time, that it's considered free speech. We're allowed to be there, and it's not their job. It's not the federal court's job to remove those pods. And if they want action done, then it needs to go through the city, and that's gonna be a process, so it's gonna be a while.
So, do you think the activists in this city is on key? Or I know they asking us for insight and consult. They gonna have to follow what we did.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying their best.
Uh-huh. They're trying.
Giving props for that. At least they're doing
at least
something.
Trying. You mentioned pods, and those who don't know what pods are, where are they?
Pods are basically a sleeping structure with wheels on it, with a sliding door, with mattresses in them and a shelf for your belongings. Which the new ones will feed up to 2 people. And they're pretty neat because they're mobile. You can move them around. They keep you out of the weather. Some of them leak a little bit, but it's not as bad as it would be laying on the sidewalk. Sure, it only rains here a couple days out of the year. When it rains here, it's different. It's desert rain. You know, it's not like Oregon rain where it's just steady coming down. I mean, you get flash floods here and all kinds of crazy lightning storms.
Yeah.
Rain the size of a cashew. it hurts. At least in Portland, you got some bridges to get under. You don't have bridges here. And they already got them in lockdown for no trespassing, city of Tucson.
So yeah. Where are they, Sydney, the pod?
They're right in the middle of downtown, right across from the Superior Court, like 3 blocks away from the police department and about 2 blocks away from the federal court.
So that's we're right something. On Front Street. You're in there, it's like in your face. Look, society, we're homeless.
And they should see it. People don't want to see things that make them uncomfortable.
It's interesting, too, because all I hear in every city we go, you can't do this on public property, you can't do this. What is public property then?
Yeah.
Aren't we citizens of the United States of America? Right. We're going to, like, France, that thing I see on the internet where we got to get our homeless card soon. Seriously.
Or an implant in your shoulder.
Yeah. So basically, the pods are roughly about 6.5, 7 feet long, about 4 feet high and 4 feet wide.
Well, thank you, and we'll be welcoming you back home in about 3 weeks, right?
Yep. Thank God.
Can't wait to get there.
On your radio dial. And today we're in a houseless community in Tucson, Arizona. And we at Safe Park, where a gathering of houseless people are demonstrating to the city officials, the public, the faith-based community, and the business alliance that it's not enough shelter space or affordable housing for people to go. They don't have shelters for couples. They don't have shelters for single people. They don't have shelters for people with pets. And today I'm talking with
Samuel.
David.
And David. How long have you all lived in?
The good Lord, he sent me here. I pray actually for a place just like this. I think it is a very good thing because I'm not looking for a job at 72. You know? And besides that, I should have the right. Well, yeah, just to lay your hat. Head down and nobody bothered, you know. And right here, it happened, you know.
Yeah.
And they could lose their job and they could be right out here with.
Then they'd be here crying about the injustice.
That's right. But the same thing that they're saying, oh, that, you know, that doesn't look right. They're a freeloader. You ever hit the street, look at your shelter, you see more and more family homeless than I've ever seen in my life.
Why do you think that's so?
Well, like I said, a lot of these companies are downsizing because they don't want to pay help.
Yeah.
Okay, this is still poverty, folks.
How are the houseless treated here in Tucson? And where are the bathrooms?
There is no bathroom. You've got to walk to go to the bathroom.
Because they don't think you're human?
I guess not. Corporate America. Yeah. We're tossed a small bone with no meat on it.
What laws are made here to target houseless people?
Loitering.
So what you're saying, so if I have a backpack and I'm walking down the street and I'm tired and I decide to sit down, they'll bother me.
Oh, yeah.
So what if I have a suitcase with a suit on walking down the street? I'm tired. No, not at all. I sit down. So is there anything being done about this? Is people speaking now?
No.
Really? Where do y'all eat, take shower, wash your clothes?
There are services here, though.
Are they good services? Pretty good services?
I found some pretty good ones, yeah. Uh-huh.
Is it daily or skip a day?
No, I can go daily if I want.
To get food?
To get
hot food?
Yep. Okay. And, I mean, they don't try to pawn their religion off on me.
Me? What about you, sir?
Myself.
You eat locusts and honey?
I can do that.
Yeah. So where do y'all take showers at and get clothes? I mean, is that hard to find?
No, it's not hard to find at all.
I go to a Triple T for a shower. Or sometimes I get a motel, you know. And food, I'm able to take care of it myself.
So is it hard for a woman to find a place to take shower, or is it a close proximity to where?
I think they can go to like the same place I am, because they take people off. It's more for a mental organization, but I mean, you can go there, eat, take a shower, do your laundry, and you can do this daily.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I found places here. I mean, today I was sitting in my tent reading my Bible. A couple walk by and go, "Hey, you hungry?" and offer me
great
food right there. I mean, there's big hearts here.
It is. So what about housing situation? Is it easy or hard?
These people don't think about this stuff.
Oh, is it a housing list they have here for people with SSI or getting Social Security?
I haven't gotten that far into it yet.
Well, that far.
I have. And I tell you one thing about Tucson.
Yeah.
The rent is cheap. And you can find very nice places for a cheap rent.
But do you make that money compatible to that cheap rent? See, and what's cheap to you may not be cheap to him.
Exactly.
He got a family, and now he can't afford that because he got a family.
There's nice places here.
What about your criminal record?
Well, yeah.
A lot of them ask that too.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't, if you got a criminal record.
If you had a felony, forget
that's
it.
That's it. Yeah. So what if you made that felony when you was in high school and you was like 15, you got caught with some weed, and now you're 58, but you still, that's still...
Still there.
Really?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So it's still a lifetime sentence.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. I mean, I thought when you paid your debt to society that was supposed to pay, why do you keep paying for it? Why do they keep trying to hold you down and drag you? Everybody did something when they were young.
They sure
not everybody
did.
Got caught.
What advice would you give somebody just new on the street, sort of like you?
Well, first of all, everyone I see that comes from Paris Junior, I'd send them right here to the park. You know, because you need to wait a certain time. You need a blanket. It's right there. Everything is that you need to just survive for that night is here. Tucson, it's 115. Honey, and let us to have a place where we can just go there, lay our head, no questions.
So do you think it should be a designated spot instead of on the sidewalk?
What?
Yeah, I do.
But me, I don't.
And we can
I would feel more. I would feel safer. Because I mean, here you can have people that can just rebel and drive by and shoot.
Yeah.
How are we safe?
That's right. Like you. They need protection. Do you think this is a good example what y'all have here, being on a busy sidewalk in front of downtown, in front of the county building, the police station and everything?
It definitely gets the attention of people that really need to take a look at what's really going on in our whole country, not just in Tucson, Arizona, not just in Seattle, Washington, not in Portland, Oregon. All over the country, it's like this.
As people with good hearts, too.
Yeah.
You know, because, hey, don't like too much.
So what you're saying, the general public here have concerns for the houseless community.
Yeah, they do.
But it's just the city officials and the businesses lying.
Well, I can't say that because I think that there's police, I think there's people, even in the city, that are concerned to get their attention. Who's in charge?
All right. Thank you for talking with me. My time is up.
This is Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And today we're in Tucson, Arizona, in Ground Zero in the houseless community. And I'm here with John McClain. John, how are things going today?
I want to say as good as we could anticipate in the houseless community. We had a federal court hearing where the city asked the federal court judge to clarify his preliminary injunction against harassment. And in other words, say we couldn't have the pods and the tents on the sidewalk in the middle of downtown Tucson. But the judge, as we anticipated, didn't let the city off the hook, let know that his order didn't apply and that was a decision that they had to make on their own, and he wouldn't aid them one way or the other.
And so do you think the city's going to take a stand and do something, or are they going to meet with you and some other organizers to negotiate something?
I would hope that they'd meet with us to try to come with terms. I mean, I'd like to think of us here on the street, especially us that have lived here for years, as the professionals on this issue and trying to resolve it. But from what we've seen in the past and in a lot of these issues, we've actually set up the government to do it. They're going to violate our rights once more and to try to sweep this issue under the rug.
So have you asked them, where will we go?
It's questions we've asked publicly, but they've made every attempt possible to make sure that we're not at the table for this discussion. So details of what they plan on doing, I really have no idea. All I can do is just assume or anticipate certain actions from them.
And why here in downtown and right on the corner, the busiest, to me, seem like the busiest place there is in downtown Tucson. Why did you organize for your safe heart here to be in downtown Tucson?
Much like any campaign or business or any organization that wants to get their message out there, we wanted to be in the most visible place possible, and we felt like this was that place.
And what message are you portraying or
trying to send out?
The city of Tucson's put laws and practices and policies in place to make it a crime to be houseless in the city of Tucson, and we're doing everything we possibly can to make that not so.
And that's happening in all over American cities are doing that. However, in Portland recently, the judge said it's not a crime to be houseless, but it's a crime to sleep on the street. So that's an oxymoronic saying he did. But what you're saying, if you're houseless, it's a crime here in Tucson.
Yeah, and sadly, okay. I mean, in 1996, they put some of these laws actually that allow us to be here in place that have made it not a crime. But despite that, the city of Tucson enforcement doesn't enforce in the letter of the law, and they've created policies and regulations and practices that have made it a crime.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about Safe Park and the protests that y'all are making or direct action that you have? I mean, you're hearing people saying that people laugh, people sleep, people stay away, people eat, people build community. We want to hear what you think that this is and tell us about camping or rest area.
Well, I mean, we built this model a lot off of what you guys have in Right to Dream 2 in Portland. And yeah, I'm sure you could consider it a rest area or a camp or a stopping place or a shelter or a micro housing facility or a community or a village. And it started 18 months ago. And it was after, you know, 2 years prior to that of fighting, trying to define where that place is, where we are allowed to be. And for us, it's we're just trying to give people a place to exist safely and within the confines of the law, within the confines of our First Amendment protections. They certainly don't give you the same access to the constitutional protections that house people get. And I mean, in some capacity, I'm glad that this argument is being brought up, particularly in court, because hopefully through time, we can see these things that people do are constitutionally protected. Whether it's sleeping outside, feeding people, moving across the country as you please, these are constitutionally protected rights. They just haven't been clarified in court as of yet. At this point, the public as a whole thinks that they aren't rights.
So what you're saying that American is using false propaganda, saying this is land of the free because you're not free to travel or to live outside or the way that you think you should live.
For people to find housing,
is it hard for people to get proper resources? And how do they treat pregnant homeless women?
Most of the social service professionals here, even the people in the industries, are saying the social service organizations can only account for 10 to 15% of our current houseless population when it comes to sheltering and basic need. The social service industries know that they're lacking. The city of Tucson knows that they're lacking, but unfortunately the city decides to handle this issue as an enforcement issue rather than a social issue.
So why can't the social service agencies join solidarity with this grassroots agency that's doing so much for the people and allowing the people to be accountable for their own actions?
So, I mean, definitely what we wanted in setting up here right in the middle of everybody's face, making ourselves available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to make that so. But definitely with ourselves, and much like probably Right to Survive in Portland, when you deal with things that are so political, so polarizing, so nationally renowned, that these traditional organizations try to veer away from that with all of their might.
Why you think that?
Grants.
So what's ahead for the houseless community here in Tucson?
I want to think at this point, anybody's guess. The one thing I can say for certain is whether these pods and tents and all this are here, there will still be people sleeping on the streets of downtown Tucson. There will still be people sleeping on the sidewalk of Safe Park and around Safe Park. It won't be the same type of conversation. I want to think, my hopes are, especially since this is my city, that they do make the right move. So literally, we don't have to be out here protesting the criminalization of homelessness because it's not a crime to be homeless in the city of Tucson anymore.
Thank you very much.
This is Lisa Faye saying thank you for joining Right to Survive Radio tonight here on KBOO.